Sweet. Hello, I'm Maya.
All right, here we are. Next episode of Introducing Foya, and I'm pumped to introduce you to Maya. You may already know her. Don't Kiss Your Friends was the EP that kind of stood out for me. The song Central Station just kicks. I kind of always want to say that she's got a really mature sound, but which is ridiculous because obviously she's a professional and she's very talented and she's a great artist. I bumped into her recently at a King Princess show and I'm like, you've got to come onto the podcast, please. Her new EP, Analysis Paralysis, is out now. It is brilliant. I mean, she's so good. She's so good. We don't always just talk about the accolades, though. Oh, no. I mean, yeah, she did release a song with Flume and it happened to go number one on the Hottest 100. But she also wants to tell me about busking at the age of 10 with her saxophone in Coogee and the concert that she almost peed herself in. You know, that kind of stuff. The good stuff, the nitty gritty. So please sit back and enjoy my chat with Maya. How are you?
I'm good.
We were just talking jars. You're obsessed with jars like other members of my family.
Yes, I do love a good jar. Clicky top jars.
You've come in with a coffee in a jar, which is very homemade. It looks like you're very sustainable or something.
Yeah, unintentionally, yeah.
You know what I thought it might have been? You know, you have people drinking charcoal water and stuff like that. I thought you might be a charcoal
heard
person.
Of that.
Yeah.
Charcoal water.
I think it is.
Just enjoy something for once.
Oh, is it alkaline? I don't know. No, it's something about charcoal.
Just have fun. You know,
have
put
fun,
some
people.
Chia in there. Yeah. Maybe some berries. It doesn't have to be dirt.
What's your kooky thing? Like, what is your thing as an artist? You go, I must have this every day.
Probably my brain medication every day.
Good start. Here we are then.
Yep.
I think last time I saw you, I think we first met at King Princess.
And oh, yes.
It was huge, such a good show. And I always wonder, like, what do you, when you go to music, like, you go to shows, obviously, are you kind of subconsciously taking notes going?
I will bring a fucking note. I don't know if I'm allowed to say
you
that.
You are absolutely
Apologies.
Allowed to fucking swear.
No, I've countlessly brought notepads.
I love that.
It's actually embarrassing.
Yeah.
But that show specifically, I remember I took photos of specific lighting moments and put them in a Google Doc afterwards.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, because we were playing the Metro as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I went to so many Metro shows because I was like, what are these bitches doing? I got to take some of this for myself.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but it is really inspiring. But also, yeah, there's moments where I'm like, oh, they all turn. Because I went to a Pale Wave show there as well, mm-hmm. which was a few days before. Mm-hmm. And there was this moment where both of her guitarist and bassist, they put their backs to the audience and then she was facing forwards and they swapped. And I completely ripped that for my show because I was like,
that.
Looks great. Yeah. Yeah. Rock opera vibes, love it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because I spoke to her that day for the podcast and she was just incredible. Like, I couldn't get over what an incredible live. Like, I love her music, but when someone, I think when you see someone's live show that doesn't just confirm that, that actually just takes you somewhere else just to go, you are the real deal. Like, this is unbelievable. Have you ever, what was the show you reckon that stuck out for you the most?
I'm going to get cancelled for this, but the 1975, I went and watched them recently because I've missed them every time that they've come.
Yeah.
And I went and watched their recent tour and I have not felt like that since like I was 13 and in the pit for One Direction. I was just like inconsolably screaming, falling to the floor, super embarrassing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought I was going to pee myself. I was like, I have no control over my body. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I felt what Beatlemania would have felt
like.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's funny, we asked on the radio show once who you'd wear a nappy for because a lot of Taylor Swift fans were wearing nappies so they wouldn't lose their spot.
Oh, my God. That's Harry Styles as well, but they just freeballed it. They were peeing in the pit.
Yeah. I have seen that with my own eyes. Not at a Harry show, but at a festival once I've just seen, and it was a girl, and it just going for it.
Oh my God. No
Everyone's
way.
Like, all right.
You would not catch me doing that.
Good. Put it in a jar if you do.
Yeah.
So congratulations on your new EP. It's out now. How do you feel about it? Like, is it a freeing moment to have this body of work out there? Or
I'm so happy for it to be out. I was watching the Zane Lowe and Dominic Fike interview that happened recently. And
I saw that.
You know how Dom the entire time has kept being like, these songs are so old. I've held on to them for so long. It feels like I can't get past all these feelings in my life because they've been I've been stuck in time. Because this hasn't been coming out, and I really related to that because I'm like, I'm just ready to move on from this period. But I'm more than happy to talk about it considering that it's like coming out. But I'm just glad that they're off the private SoundCloud link and that I don't have to think
so about that. Is that because you're always like two or three steps ahead of what... I mean, I'm assuming you all are because like you're probably working on stuff now that we're not going to hear for ages. But
exactly.
How does that feel creatively? Like we're all going, oh, we love this song. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, sure.
I think it's better this time around. The first EP that I put out, I'd written over like high school years.
Yeah.
And I released it when I was like 18. And some of the songs were like closer to the release date. But I felt like with that one, I even like promoted it as like, these are songs that I was writing when I was figuring out how to write songs.
Right.
And like figuring out what my life was. Whereas like I was working on Analysis Paralysis like at that point.
Yeah.
And being like, oh my God, I'm so much darker than this. And I'm so much like more intense and I've got so much more to say. And it does feel a bit like that first EP. I was a bit like, flowers and daisies. Roses, and this one feels a lot more like I'm intense.
Like- I do love that. You know what I loved about that? Back to that Zane Lowe chat was I love that Zane asks this, you know, 4-minute question about what a great cathartic album this must be, and you must feel amazing. And he just goes, no, not really. It's just a collection of songs from the last few years.
Yeah.
And like, bang! I love that as well, because obviously it can be all the things. Sometimes it is this piece of work that you are from the heart, and this is, it means so much to you. Or sometimes it's just like, oh, have a listen to what I've been doing the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. I relate to that a bit where, like, this EP has felt like, just lots of trials, like lots of working. Like I went over to LA, did the whole thing, worked with, you know, a different person
every
day. That
sounds very glamorous. Was it glamorous?
No. I literally think it was 3 months of me crying on my floor because I was just like, I can't figure this out and I don't know how people do this. And working with a different person every day and bringing all your emotions and your diary in is like...
What sends you, can I ask from a civilian point of view, what sends you to LA? Like you don't just get off the plane and go, here we go, let's try and give showbiz a go.
I mean, some people do.
Some people do. I'm assuming you didn't, but like, what's the reason for that? Is like, is it record company going, I want you to work with this group of people, or get into songwriting with this group of people, or
yeah? I think it's a community thing. I think Australia is getting better now at like building community and building like sharing spaces and like producing for other artists and working on other artists' projects. But I think that we have a long way to go. But there is a whole recent community that's been coming together and really working together, but I feel like LA is the central hub that everyone from everywhere goes to. So it's not like a lot of people being like, this is my home ground and I'm not sharing it with anyone kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people being like, we're all here to figure this out and work this out and find ourselves.
Also, the more people I speak to even doing this job, I find that it's an incredibly collaborative job that you have, as opposed to like, well, this is my stuff and I do this and I'm in competition with everyone. And that's what it feels like from the outside.
Yeah, it takes a village to make it work.
Yeah.
But I feel like every artist has their own village in like Australia. It feels like you've got your own one and don't take my people, you know? No one can move. Like, But yeah, we are definitely getting better. And I think that people are acknowledging it a lot more and deliberately trying to like have other artists join them on stage and do more collaborative albums and like rather than just songs and you know, sharing band members and stuff like that. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah. Tell us about how it all started, because I mean, you're Sydney / Byron Bay, and you know, I read busking attached to your name a lot when it all started there. Is that really where it started for you? Were you a busker that decided just, this is actually not bad?
I feel like there's so many like layers to that, but I mean, like the first busking thing I was doing was like at like 10 years old at Coogee Beach with my saxophone, like being able to play. like I remember I made $50 in coins that first time, and my mom was like, you gotta keep doing it while you're cute, no one's gonna give you money for playing saxophone when you're older.
I love that.
And then I moved to Byron and I had like a duo with my friend when we were like 13.
Yeah.
And we'd sit out the front of convenience stores with her piano plugged into probably some outlet we were not allowed to be using, and you know, having the guys from the real estate agent across the road being like, you're driving away business, please leave. But I didn't do the like adult busking thing.
Right.
I think that's very different.
So were you doing covers or were you throwing some originals in there?
Some Bruno Mars, you know.
Love it.
Got a serenade. The onlookers.
Like, I think Joe Strummer from The Clash used to say when he busked at the tube station, he only learnt one song because he's like, people only walk past you for 10 seconds. They don't need to know that you've got a set list of 10.
Yeah.
So you just did like one song.
It's the real estate agent across the road that's going to throw a fit.
Yeah. So then what was happening? So you weren't busking as an adult. What was the thing that took it from having a bit of fun with Bruno Mars outside a real estate agent to writing your own music? Like, do you remember the first song you wrote? And then how did that become what it is today?
I don't remember the first song I wrote because I've been doing it since I was like 9,
okay.
Like just making up random stuff. I think I was very much like living in my own world, but I didn't think that I was really going to be a songwriter or anything like that.
What were you listening to when you were younger? Like, apart from Bruno, obviously.
So much Taylor Swift, so much Amy Winehouse, so much Bob Dylan. It was kind of those three on rotation.
It's a pretty eclectic crew. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. I'd sit down and have dinner with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not sure they would with me, but
no.
I'm sure Bob would be down
for a chat. Amy, Taylor and Bob, your table's ready. Maya's going to be joining you in a second.
Yeah. I met my manager really randomly, and then we started working together, and he was helping me just doing artist development stuff. And we did that for years, and then eventually he was like, I think it was when I wrote Green, one of my earlier songs, and he was like, okay, we're ready to like take this to labels. And I was like, wait, that was the plan? Like, he didn't really fill me in because I didn't think he wanted to put any pressure on me to like...
But that's good though. You'd probably want to prefer that, wouldn't you? As opposed to like, I'm writing so I can, you know, put this in front of X.
Yeah. No, it's good to write without ever thinking anyone's going to hear it. And that's a lot of that first project, which is good and bad because it's super honest, but I also go, this was never meant with
you
the
intention.
You weren't
supposed to hear this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's unreal. So is there a moment, though, that you still can't believe? So, that, like, I mean, we could go through a resume, but I'm like, you played at Coachella, you got number one on the Hottest 100 with Flume, you got into Unearth with Triple J. Was there a moment that really went from, like, it's just gone from there?
It feels like there's been a bunch of little moments like that, and then I get to this point where I look back and I'm like, wow, this actually...
I did this.
Did something, yeah. I think the first moment that I was like, oh, damn, like people are showing up was the second headline tour that I did.
Yeah.
And we played at this venue in Melbourne, and it was the first night of the tour, and we only played in like the three cities, but I just remember showing up being like, oh, I hope people come, and then playing to a sold out room of people and being like, whoa.
And coming just for you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They make stuff and bring memes. And there was one girl from that show that brought this cutout of JoJo Siwa and just like held it up for the whole set. And then we played in Melbourne a few weeks ago and they were holding it up. And I was like, I remember you from the last time.
Oh, that's so good. So, yeah, what was it like playing some of the songs from this EP on the tour? Like, have they been obviously going down well and you've been enjoying that?
Yeah, it has been a really interesting experience, like, playing songs. We played 5 songs that no one had heard before on the tour, which is a bit scary because you're like, are people just going to check out if they don't know the music?
Do you think generally that doesn't happen, don't you think?
Like,
when you go to a live show, really, I think that that's what you're there for. You're just happy to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know you're very entertaining as well, which helps. But
thank you.
No, but I'm saying most people aren't going, oh, new stuff.
Yeah, I think it feels like that from insecurity of being like, oh my God, no one knows this. But people really got into it. And we released one of the songs from the EP on the first day of the tour. And then the next one we released on the last day. So it was really interesting to see, like, by the second or third show, people knew the words to the song that had been released 2 days before.
Yeah, okay.
And you're like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And then people sent around videos of the unreleased songs to other people so we would play and they would already know the words to songs that aren't out. And it's just like, I don't know, the dedication there is just so awesome because you just can't predict that happening. And
it's quite nice, moment. I guess, that you're not expecting that though. It would be nice that you're not at that stage where you're like, oh yeah, I get that. Yeah, you should.
No, the funniest, we supported Rule once and I got all these videos from my friends that were like standing up the back, and we were playing one of the songs and these girls were holding up the lyrics to the song in the pit, just like yelling.
Oh, really?
And so I was like, damn, that's respectful of you. That's really nice. Pretend that you know it.
Oh, that's
like,
brilliant.
Yeah.
So what's next for the rest of the year? You just finished a tour. You've got the EP out. What's next in your kind of your diary that you're excited about? What's happening?
Lots more like little events that I'm putting on, which is gonna be really fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, touring in the US from October, so that's like coming up quick.
Yeah. What do you got planned for that? Where are you going?
Going everywhere. I haven't really looked at the it's a lot of
Are you
dates.
A day to day person, or did you look at something like that and just get
day-to-day
a little bit over?
Right now.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, just get through.
Yeah.
Just get through the one day. But yeah, we're touring with the Nessa.
Big coffee
Barrett.
In a jar, one day at a time.
Exactly. You get me. That's it. Figure out what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Coffee in a jar.
Yeah.
Glad that I have my beautiful people
course,
that I work with to help me get through the day. Texting me being like, hey, of course you would show up 10 minutes before the interview starts.
Is there an album on the horizon? Is that something that's important to you? Because a lot of people now, which I think is also admirable, like, because of the internet, I mean, that whole thing, you can release things and move on pretty quick.
Yeah.
But is that something that's important to you to release a more substantial body of work?
Mm-hmm. Album is definitely the main goal. Obviously, there's other moving parts and other people involved where they make other decisions, I guess. Probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But
your input, I'm sure, is important, though.
Yeah. The album is really the end goal, because I really want to make something. I don't want to put too much pressure on it, but I really want to make something that feels really cohesive and really poignant and like has a solid point and a lot of like meat to it. Whereas the last things that I've done have felt more like pulling different things and putting them together. And that's a really fun process. But like knowing that I'm going to go and write something where like not every song has to be a hit, and I can do something kind of weird and experimental, and maybe the like I can have interludes and intro tracks and stuff like that, where I like you have the main songs that anyone would listen to, but then you know something in there might really mean something to somebody else that like not a lot of people get. That's really vague, but that's the stuff that I love. I love B-side tracks.
Yeah,
I love interludes. I love the the songs that sort of feel like the most important but like aren't the catchiest ones, I guess.
Yeah. How do you find, like looking, like even just saying like you've just done a tour here and you're about to go to the US, how do you work in that time? Like how are you writing new things or recording new things? Do you find that you just have to be good on the go, or do you have to lock yourself away for a few months and dedicate it and then working on new stuff's over here, touring's over here, or is it all just like...
Yeah, I've kept them separate now just because touring is harder than you think it's going to be, and I really, really enjoy it. But, like, I can do work, but I can't be super creative because I just need the space.
Yeah. So you're not sitting in airport lounges, you know, working on track 3 and 4.
I wish I could be like that. Like, I saw pictures of, like, friends, you know, sitting in the airport lounge with, like, their interface out, and, like, I can't do that. Like, my guitarist sits on the plane on her phone making beats on the plane, and I'm like...
Right. Just watching
my brain
movies.
Doesn't do that. But you know, I love to be locked away in a little cell for like 3 months and being like, nobody come in here. You know, I'm making my sounds.
Well, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Congratulations on the EP. You should be really proud of it. And
thank you, and
good luck with the tour in the US. I mean, there is nothing less glamorous than travel, but you can't really tell anyone that because it sounds so amazing.
It's going to be really fun, though.
It's going to be a lot of fun, I can imagine. We like to finish, though, with someone maybe you'd like to introduce us to. Like, who are you listening to at the moment? Who do you love?
I'd probably introduce you to my beautiful guitarist, Chloe Dad, and my bassist, Handsome Music. They're both incredible musicians, and you should check them out.
I will. Well, pleasure speaking to you.
And too.
Congratulations on, as I said, the new EP, and good luck over in the US of A.
Oh, thank you for talking to me.
And then I can't wait to hear what you come up with once you've locked yourself away for a few months.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.